Let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for just loving us, being good to us, calling us out, being the peace in our lives in the midst of a storm. And we're going to look a little bit of that even today. And life can get hectic, like life can get crazy. And without you, we really don't have peace. And we are just people who bounce around from place to place. And we're always running, but really never, ever getting to where we feel like we need to go. And so, Lord, you are the peace in the midst of the storm. And so I pray you would just speak to us today as we get back into the book of Jonah. I know these things happened a long time ago, Lord, but you left them here for a purpose. So I do pray that you would try our hearts, allow us to make the steps to be closer to you as you're calling us to be sanctified more and more every day. So speak to us today. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, if you got your Bibles, open up to the book of Jonah. We're working through the book of Jonah. We just got started, for real last week. And so, just a little bit of, review from last week, because I just know how Passpoint works. Like, if everybody was to show up on the same week, well, we wouldn't even come close to fitting in here. But because we've got ministry and different things, you know, there's a lot of times you missed what was here the week before. So last week, you know, we were looking at, you know, God's great fish story in the book of Jonah. And, you know, last week we looked at, you know, God's great plan to reach all people. And so, you know, God had a plan from the beginning. And it wasn't just, hey, Jonah, I want you to go reach the city of Nineveh. And we looked a lot about the city of Nineveh and all about those people and why Jonah didn't like them, and or at least why the Jews in general didn't like them and whatnot. But anyway, we kind of dove into, yeah, God wanted the people in Nineveh to hear. But it wasn't just that. It was almost bigger than that, because if you'll remember, Jonah was the only one of God's prophets that was actually sent to a different people, right? Now, there were other prophets who prophesied against different people groups, but they never actually went there to do it. And so the fact that he was sent to do that, the fact that God said, hey, I want you to go and to do, it makes Jonah unique. And so he didn't just have a plan for the people of Nineveh, right? God's got a plan for everybody. But bigger than that, and it kind of coincides to what's going on today in the nation of Israel, if you're somebody who tracks into things like that, but God is trying to provoke his people, the nation of Israel, to jealousy. Why would God send one of our prophets to those people, right? And that's really what he was trying to do. He was trying to get the nation of Israel to say, wait a minute, Jonah, why didn't he have a word for us? Well, he did. If you go back and read the book of Amos and you read, you know, all these books that are contemporary, he had a lot of words for the nation of Israel. But he was trying to provoke them to the fact of, wait a minute, that's our God. Why is he being sent over there? It's the same thing that's happened with Israel today, right? God says, hey, the Gentiles, they can get in. And go back and listen to last week. But anyway, so last week we kind of looked at, God had a plan for something bigger than what you saw. And I had kind of three points. And I was told last night that the first one and the third one were pretty much the same thing. But, that's, I guess, up to whoever was listening. But I had three points last week just to kind of get us going. And it was three questions. No, that's a different week. Sorry. Three things that we do to avoid the call of God, because that's what Jonah was doing. He was avoiding the call of God. And just really quick to recap that. So the first one is we act like we didn't hear God. Jonah was like, yeah, okay. And there's no conversation with God. There's no, okay, God, well, why are you wanting me to do that? Are you sure that's what you want me to do? He just like, I'm out. I'm going the other way. Not just the other way, if you'll remember from last week. He's going like to the other side of the world. Not really, but he's going to the other side of the Mediterranean Sea, which is the world to them at that time. And so he goes as far away as he can. He searches out. He's like, I'm just going to pretend like I don't hear God. God rolls into our life sometimes and he's like, hey, I want you to, and we're just like, did somebody hear something? Because, I don't know. I think I'm going to go over here though and be busy about my ministry or whatever it else is in our life that we get busy with. And so we act like we didn't hear him. The second thing that we do to avoid the call of God is we do everything that we can to go against God, right? This is what Paul calls kicking against the pricks in the book of Acts. He's just like, everything that I'm just going to go against what the Lord's telling me to do. You want me to do this, Lord? Okay, I'm not going to do that, right? You want me to go over here? Okay, that sounds great. I'm not going to do that. You know, and we liken that to sometimes with our kids, and they're just like, are you just purposely trying to do everything against what I'm asking you to do, right? And so, but no, we do that with the Lord. We're just like, hey, what do you want me to do? Oh, okay, I don't want to do that. So I'm going to go the opposite way. I'm not just going to go a little bit the opposite way. I'm going to go as far as I can the opposite way. I'm going to run. And so, and the last thing we talked about, which is similar to the first, but it's not the same, is we act as though we didn't notice the Lord chasing us, right? It's not just ignoring God's call, but it's basically saying, I see what God is doing, and I see the things that he's doing in my life. Right? These are tangible things. I see the storm, right? I see the tragedy. I see the you fill in the blank. But we just like, that's probably not meant for me, right? That's probably meant for, that probably really has nothing to do with me, right? We just act as though the Lord's not chasing us, right? It's just a coincidence that, you know, the sea's calm and he jumps on the boat and now all of a sudden there's a bigger storm than there's ever been, right? It's just a coincidence. We call those in our life today. We're like, oh, it's a coincidence. No, that's God's working in your life and you're just missing it, right? It's not a coincidence that God is just by happenstance meeting you where you're at, trying to give you exactly what he has for you in your life so that you can do something with it. Well, that's not a coincidence at all, right? It's God's call. And so anyway, that was what we looked at last week. We went through that. And so let's just jump back into this and then we're going to look at man's great heart problem today. You know, everything's great in the book of Jonah. It's a great fish. They're wickedly, all everything's great. So let's just pick back up in verse 1 to catch back up where we were. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it. To go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So a big storm, you're getting ready to roll in a big storm. But God says, hey, I want you to go. I'm not going to do it. Verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind unto the sea, and there was a mighty tempest, like what we know as a large hurricane today, in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners, these weren't like rookie, sailors. These are mariners. They know what they're doing. They were afraid, and they cried every man into his God and cast forth the wares, into the ship, into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. He's just sleeping through the thing. He's like, nah, I'm not doing it, God. I'm not going to hear from you. So the shipmaster came unto him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Right? Wake up. Do something. Arise. Call upon thy God. Notice it's the first time that the letter G is capitalized. If so be that God will think upon us and we perish not. And they said everyone to his fellow, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots and the lot fell upon Jonah. So that's where we got to last week, right? Where we're going to figure out what's happening. So they cast lots and we find out that, hey, it's Jonah, right? It is because of you that this is happening to us, right? It's because of you. And so as we get into today's stuff, you just need to ask you, like, have you placed yourself in the story yet? And the word of the Lord came unto fill in the blank, right? What is it that God is calling you to do? What is Lord saying to you? Right? What did God tell me to do? And the bigger question is, am I actually taking the obedient steps to get there? Because it's one thing to know what God said, right? We have a book full of knowing what God said. The problem is, most of us, we're just too lazy to be obedient. I'm just calling it like it is, right? We're just too lazy to say, oh, that's actually going to take effort. That's actually going to take, you know, time. The thing that none of us have, except for we all have the same amount, right? That's actually going to take something from me, and I'm just out. I'm not going to do it. I'm doing good enough, right? So get off my case. That's what we think. I'm getting along. So why are you worried about it? Am I actually taking the steps to be obedient to get there? That's what you got to ask yourself. Okay, so today we're going to see man's great heart problem. So let's just, you know, we've kind of seen what's going on. God says, Jonah, I want you to go. He's like, probably not. Right? And he goes the other direction. He jumps on the ship, not just the ship to anywhere, but the ship to as far away from here as I can get. It's not like the first plane out of here. It's the farthest away I can get, right? Which plane's going to be in the air for the longest? That's the one I want on, right? Which ship's going to be as far away from here as humanly possible? That's what he says. Okay, so he's going away. He gets in the ship. Well, conveniently, they just get out, you know, far enough away, and here's the storm. You know, it's not like they didn't watch the weather forecast. It was supposed to be clear, right? Everything was supposed to be good. They get out there and conveniently there's a storm. Conveniently there's trial. And it's not just any storm, right? I told you last week to compare it to the storm when Paul was sailing in the book of Acts, right? And it's the same type of storm. Like, it's a storm unknown to common man at that time. It's a storm that is so great, right? And so they're in this storm. It's nuts. It's so bad that the people, the mariners who sail all the time, they've never seen anything like it. They're calling under their gods, right? Their little g gods, and they don't know what's going on. They're throwing the cargo off the ship, right? this is going to cost them something. Now all of a sudden, like, if they do survive, they're going to have to answer for all of this. And where's Jonah? He's asleep, right? He's so far away from what God is telling him to do that he is completely asleep. Now remember, Jonah's running because he doesn't like the people of Nineveh. It's not just that he doesn't like them. He would rather die than go to Nineveh, is basically what we looked at last week. He's so far away from it. And that's kind of where we're at right now. There's a storm. Jonah's asleep. These people are calling unto God. It's this massive, like, if you can only imagine, the craziest storm that you've ever... Okay, that's where they're at. Verse 8. So they've figured out that, okay, it's Jonah's fault that we're in this mess. Then they said unto him, meaning, I don't know how many people are on this boat. I'm guessing it's a pretty large ship. Probably a lot of people. What did you do? Right? Why is this happening? So for they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? And whence camest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? Like, who, what, when, where, and why is this happening? Is what they're saying. What did you do? Right? Now you got to understand the background these guys come from. They're very polytheistic, meaning they believe in a lot of different gods. They believe in the fact that if you don't sacrifice to certain gods at certain times, that they're going to come after you. They believe that, you know, if you've done wrong by the quote unquote little g god, then there's going to be wrath that comes upon you. That's why they immediately don't just say, hey, it's a storm. They immediately say, this is somebody's fault. That's where they're at. They're like, what in the world? Here's Jonah's answer. He said unto them, I'm a Hebrew. They're like, oh, great, right? And I fear the Lord. Oh, my gosh, that's even worse, right? Capital L, Lord, the God of heaven. Oh, that guy, you fear, oh, my gosh, that's the guy that's after us? Which hath made the sea and the dry land. He wraps it up with that. He's like, you know, the one that can cause all of this to happen. And they're like, we're, for lack of a better word, we're screwed, right? There's nothing we can do. You've brought this on us, Jonah. Why would you do this? Then were the men exceedingly afraid. Why? Because they knew enough about the capital G God to know that they were in a bad spot. And said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. So there's a little bit more conversation that we're not privy to, but basically at some point he was like, yeah, God told me I was supposed to do something and I didn't, and that's why I'm here. And so they know that he's running from God and that's what's going on. So they know. He's like, why have you done this? They're smart enough to know, as a polytheistic, you know, little g God worshipers that worship all these different things, to know that if God told you to do something, why did you not do it? Why, if he told you to go to Nineveh, are you on a boat going the other direction? Why did you do this, Jonah? We're smart enough to know not to do that. And here, that's what they're saying. Like, why? What, are you stupid or something? What are you doing? That's what he's saying. Like, why did you do this? They're smart enough to know. Why isn't he? Verse 11. Then said they unto him, because this is what we do in the world. What shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? What can I do in my power to change my circumstances? That's what they're asking. What do we need to do to you? And basically, I think what they're asking, now I don't know, I wasn't there, but what I think they're asking is, do we need to try to get the ship back to port so you can go the direction you were supposed to go? No, his answer is like, throw me overboard, right? I would rather die than go back to there. I'm not doing it, right? That's what he says. Like, they're asking, what do we need to do to you? Do we need to be like, hey, let's get you back to the direction you need to be going. Let's try to get this thing turned around in the storm. And he's like, no, that's not what he says. He says, that the sea may calm unto us, for the sea was wrought and was tempestuous. In verse 12, and he said unto them, take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so the sea shall be calm. The sea shall be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. He's like, hey, instead of just trying to get me back to where I came from, just throw me overboard. Because here's why. Let me just tell you, here's why. Jonah knows how good God is, right? That's, as Christians, we know how good God is. We don't like to act on it. Because we know if we act on it, it's going to take something on my part. So what he says is, if I was to tell these guys to take me back, if I was to tell God, hey, will you calm the storm? He will. And I don't want to go. Like, this is so bad that he's at a point where he's like, I would rather die than go to those people. I would rather not live anymore than actually have to repent and go to where God told me to go. That's some serious hatred. That's some serious messed up You know, and the thing is he knew the whole time that all he had to do was say so. How do I know? Because I've read chapter 2. And when he finally gets to a point where he says so, God's like, oh, okay, right? That's how messed up this thing is, right? But look at the difference. These guys that are on the ship, they are like messed up, idol worshiping, right? I mean, if any of you, I know some of you guys have, like, especially the guys, but maybe some of you gals too. You ever worked in a workplace that's like, these guys are just wicked. Like, everything that comes out of their mouth, I didn't know you could use that word in so many different forms of the English language, right? I didn't know that that word came out as an adjective and as a noun and as a proper noun and as a, all those other things, right? That's impressive. Like, You've been around people. I've worked around people in the world, right? I work with this one guy right now. He's really messed up, but I've worked around people in the world before. I work with Tyler every day, if you guys didn't know that. I've worked in the past with groups of people that it's like, I feel like I just need to like wash myself when I leave there. It's just that messed up. Like the way that these people think, the way that these people talk.
I used to be that guy.
Me too, right? But I just meant like I just, that's where these guys are. These guys are so messed up. But yet they know enough to know that, hey, there's something trying to get our attention here. Like, there's something, hey, let's figure out what's going on. And when Jonah starts spilling the beans of, hey, I'm a Hebrew. Hey, I follow God, you know, the one that created everything. And they're just like, then why don't you ask him to stop this? If he's the God of the sea, he's the God of the land, isn't he the God of the sky? Ask him to stop. And they're like begging, and he just won't do it. Now, we'll find out soon enough that sometimes God will use your ignorance and rebellion to reach other people in spite of it. We'll look at that next week, maybe. It depends on how far we get today, but you know, God can use you. But so, you know, as we're walking through this thing, you got to understand, like, Jonah, he's rebellious. He's not just like, I don't want to go. Like, he's not just a little bit like, I don't really want to do God today. You ever wake up like that some days and it's like, I just don't want to read today, right? I don't have time. I just don't really want to act out. I'm not going to like go out and do the things I'm really not supposed to do, but I'm not going to do the things I know that I am supposed to do, right? We're going to have a lot of sins of omission in our life today. Maybe not so many sins of commission, but the things that I know I ought to be doing that I'm not doing. I'm going to have some of those because I just don't want to do today, right? That's where these guys, they're just like, Jonah, not these guys, Jonah, he's just outright rebellious. He knows exactly, he had the God of the universe come to him and tell him, hey, this is what I want you to do. And he's like, I would rather die than do that, God. And we're like, wow, that's some pretty deep rebellion, right? Can't believe he did that. I guarantee every one of you has done it multiple times in your life. God comes to you and says, hey, why don't you go and talk to that person? God comes to you and says, hey, why don't you talk to them about maybe getting involved with that ministry? God's like, hey, you know, they could use some help in VBS, right? And you're like, I would rather die than help those kids in VBS, right? I'm just using that as an example. I'm just kidding. But like, we do that, man. We're like, absolutely not. I don't like that person. I'm not doing it, right? Use me for something else, God, but use somebody else. That's our answer. I'm just not qualified, right? You can't use me. God, just use somebody else, right? They'll be better than me. They've actually went to training for that. Right? If you're somebody in here that's like, oh, I can't do that because I haven't been through HBI, you're a fool for multiple reasons, but you're just a fool because guess what? You go through HBI and I'm more confused now about some things than I was before I started, right? But even more so than that, it's all available to you. And even more so than that, you don't have to go through that to be used by God in the first place, right? Now, I understand some of us are called, right? And we know that we need to get trained, but the whole point is like, if God said go, God will not call you if he's not ready to use you, right? I think it's in Thessalonians verses, faithful is he that calleth you who hopes you'll be able to get it done. That's not what it says. It says, faithful is he who calleth you who also will do it. Meaning God has already done the work. God has already taken care of all the things. And he's just like, hey, do you want to be a part of this? Like, I know this person over here. Their heart's pretty tender. I know they look pretty rough on the outside. But, you know, if you just talk to them, I bet you'd be surprised at what could happen. Right, I bet you'd be surprised that you know how God, how I could reach them. And we're like, yeah, I don't know, God, you know. And we're just like, and God's like, okay, fine, I'll use somebody else. Right, I'll use somebody else. Some of us in here have been saved for a long time, and we can't count on one hand the amount of people that we've actually had a real conversation with about, hey, this is what the gospel says. What are you going to do about it in your life? Right. And then there's other people who like are so zealous that we're just like, I don't know what to say, but you should come to church because the answer's there. Just come and they'll hear it, right? And I'm like, I'm convicted to my core because like, hey, what am I doing? Jonah? Like, what am I doing? And so, okay, we gotta get, I haven't even got to the points yet. Okay. There's a storm going on. And the lost people are the only ones smart enough to call unto God, right? There's a storm happening. And it's like the lost world are the only people that realize that God is the answer. You ever felt like that in your life? I'm talking to you, you know, the Amen Choir, like, you know, hey, we're saved, we're born again, we got our get into heaven free ticket, right? All the things, you know, but well, what is it that a lot of times that's the lost world that's like, hey, maybe we should pray, right? We were at volleyball, and then this gal's not lost, but younger Christian, right? We're playing volleyball. It's week one. Some of you might remember this. Some of us maybe more than others. Week one, and Jody hurts her knee, right? And she's like in excruciating pain, right? Well, it's not good.
Everything you do heartily to the Lord.
For real, man. If you're going to do it, you better go 110%. I get it. So anyway, Jody hurts herself. And we're, the team that I play on, we're the other team playing them right now. And so we're over there like, so what are we going to do? Like, do we just wait? Like, it's kind of like, I don't really want to go over there. If you know anything about me, I'm like, if there's confrontation, I'm going to go the other way because I'm just, it's just awkward to me. And I'm like, surely somebody will do something about this. And, one of the people on our team, young in the Lord, right? They're like, hey, should we pray? I'm like, hey, that's a great idea. Why didn't I think of that? Right? Yeah, absolutely. We should do that. Right? And then my wife, even so more eloquently, was like, yes, you should do that as an opportunity for them as the younger Christian to be. And then they were like, oh no, somebody else. Right? But the whole point is like, sometimes we as the mature Christian, we're the first one to like completely miss the boat. Right? Just completely miss it. And it's the lost people or it's the young Christians that are like, hey, you think maybe we should do something about this? These mariners are like, hey, should we maybe ask your God? Because ours obviously isn't working. We've like already lost everything on the ship. Maybe we should ask this guy's God. And the lost people, they know to call to God in the storm before we do. Okay, we got to get through at least a couple of these points. So here's what I got for you today and next week because we're not going to get done. Four things that men do, right, to reveal their heart problem with the Lord. These are things that we do. Four things that men do, and women, right? Not just men. Although men, we're probably more apt to do these things than ladies, just because our head's a little harder. But four things that men do to reveal their heart problem with the Lord. Because that's what we have, is we have a heart problem. Now, I understand if we're lost today, now I'm looking around the room, I'm not thinking a lot of people in here are lost, but if you're lost today, you have what the Bible calls, and it doesn't really say this, but in Tyler's Richard Petty version, it says this, you have spiritual heart disease. Right? Your heart is decaying from the inside out is basically what is happening. If you're lost, that's what's happening. You don't understand it, but your heart is basically, it's dying from the inside, and there's only one way to cure it. It's Jesus. Okay? But I'm talking more to the Amen Choir today. Okay, so we have a heart problem with the Lord. We just do. And I say we because I do at times. We have a heart problem. It's kind of like when Doug was here on the Wednesday night of the Vision Conference. And, you know, sometimes Doug Pearson, I love the guy to death, right? I went to India with him multiple times. But there's times that I'm like, I feel like all he's trying to do is get us to go to India, right? Which, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll go. Like, but no, he came and he was like preaching fire. And he's like spitting like, we got a discipleship problem. I'm like, yes, amen, we do, right? And all the different things, and not that we have a huge problem, but sometimes it's a heart problem, right? We have a heart problem. And so the first one, I'm just going to show you, these are things that we do. We actively do these things because that's what the book of Jonah is all about. It's what we can actively do, right? And so these are the things that we can actively do the wrong way, right? So far in chapter one, that's all we've seen. We can go against God, we can do it. So these are things that we actively do to reveal our heart problem with the Lord. The first one in verse 8, we ask the wrong questions, right? We ask the wrong questions. It says in verse 8, then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? Right? They're just asking all the questions. Like, hey, what did you do? Who did you make mad? Did you not sacrifice before you got on the boat? Did you not throw? I told you guys this last week, I think. Like, in India, if it's like certain times of the year they have festivals and you worship certain gods. And like, if you drive by these temples, and there's temples everywhere, like there's as many temples as there are churches, only they're not churches like this. They're just like little shacks on the side of the road. Anyway, they like throw pennies out, or not pennies, they throw coins out. They're worshiping anything that they can do, right, to get in the favor of the quote unquote gods. And they're asking all these questions, like, what did you do? Or what didn't you do? Or where did you come from? And who did you offend there? And they're trying to figure this thing out, because if they can figure out where, they're not really after what happened. They're after what they can do, what they can do to counteract what happened. Where did you come from? Because if they can find out where he came from, they can find out what God they were supposed to be worshiping, right? And then if that's the case, then they can all, you know, together, corporately say, hey, let's go to this quote-unquote little g God and beg for forgiveness or mercy or this, that, or that. They're trying to really nail down what is happening. They're asking all these questions, but they're not the right question, right? That's what we do in our life. We ask a lot of questions of the Lord all the time, right? You ever ask questions of the Lord? I've got like a list. And honestly, I really do wish I would have started a note in my phone, because that's what I do, because I'm old now and I forget things. Like things that I remember I was going to say 5 minutes ago. Like, it's just completely gone. Things that I told myself yesterday, hey, we need to make sure we get this done. I'm like, I have no idea. It's completely gone. Right? That's just, it happens when you get old. I'm sorry. That's good. Welcome to life. Okay? Anyway, they're asking all these questions. And I really wish I had this list, because there's times I'm like, I'm going to ask God that when I get there. Because we'll have that opportunity. When we get there, we can be like, hey, God, you remember this one time that, you know, this happened in the Bible? Why exactly did it happen like that? Right? Why exactly did you have to do it that way? Right? Exactly. And I got a whole list of questions like that. But anyway, they're asking all the wrong questions. Right? We ask God about, hey, God, why is this person like this? We ask God, like, what is it about this person that is so hard to deal with? We ask God, why are my circumstances like this? Why did you allow this to happen? Why did you, we pull that down some or something. Why did you allow all of this to happen? Right? We're asking about circumstances. We're asking about details of events. God, you remember this one time and I had this conversation and why did it happen exactly like that? And we're asking details. We're asking like circumstantial things. We're asking all this. We're asking God, why would you allow that to happen? You ever been there? Why would you allow that to happen? Why would you allow me to be so devoted over here and then allow this to happen over here? Why? Why would you allow this person to die? Why would you we ask all the wrong questions, right? Really, we need to get to the important question. What is God trying to tell me or show me through the events surrounding me? We ask a whole lot of questions, right? Why did you let this happen, God? I loved that person. Why did you allow this? Why did you... some of y'all have been through some stuff. Like, I know. Some of y'all have seen some stuff. I know. And it's natural for us to be like, why? But you have to remember the bigger picture. This world wasn't created for you. It wasn't created for your happiness. It really wasn't created for... well, if you really want to know what it was created for, fast forward to the book of Revelation. God says... it was created for His pleasure, right? Now, I'm not saying that it pleasures God for bad things to happen, but do you understand that God can use any circumstance to reach people? I've seen people get saved at funerals. Why? Because it's a way for God to use tragedy to show, hey, what are you going to do about it, right? It shows that life is short, and you have to answer for what you've done. And that's just the truth of the Bible. Like, we're so concerned about the circumstances and why and how and this and that and where did it come from and why did this happen, right? Somebody dies in a car crash and we're like, oh my gosh, why were they driving a car like that? And who cares? Right? They're gone now. Does it matter what kind of car they were driving? Does it matter that they were going so fast? At this point, it doesn't matter. What's God trying to show you through that? Why did God allow you to go through that? Why did God allow? Those are the things that you need to ask, because you need to say, hey, God's trying to get my attention. Because if He doesn't get my attention, I might be the next one in the car. Right? And am I ready to answer for that? Am I ready to stand at the judgment seat of Christ if I'm lost? Probably not. Right? Or if you're saved, great white throne if you're lost. Right? That's the problem, is we're so consumed with our today lives, with our, well, what am I going to do with today? And what about my happiness? And this makes me feel good. And who cares? Is God getting the glory? Because if He's not, I promise, like, your 60 or 70 or 80 years, maybe 90 if you're lucky, like, they are so meaningless when it comes to eternity if you didn't use that time for the Lord. Meaningless. There are going to be people in heaven. Now, notice I said heaven. That got saved and did absolutely nothing for the Lord. And they will, they won't answer for it, but they're going to have to basically be the naked guy in heaven, quote unquote, right? Their glorified body is going to look a whole lot different. For eternity. Not 60, 70, 80, 90 years. For eternity. And we're like, yeah, but I had this other thing I really wanted to do that day. Okay. I guess for eternity you can decide if it was really worth it. We're so consumed with our lives that we don't really even take a second to say, hey, what is God wanting me to do? Right? What is God calling me to do? Is it really where we get so caught up? We're asking all the wrong questions. Instead of asking God why, we'd be much better off asking what? What do you want me to do with this, God? What do you want me to do? Like, this is important. I can see that. Life is, it's short. I can see that. People are dying every day. I can see that, right? What do I need to do about that, right? What is it that you would have me to do to intercede in somebody's life so that they're not burning in hell forever? Because that's the truth of the Bible. I was going to get there today, but we didn't get that far, right? That's the honest to God truth of the Bible. God's grace is great, right? We sing about Jesus, friend of sinners. Amen, hallelujah, it's great. But you know that there's another side to that coin? It's the Jesus that's going to send every one of those sinners to burn in the lake of fire if they don't accept him. Right? And he's holy and just to do that. Because if he's gracious enough to offer grace to everyone, then he is just and holy and sending them, right, to an eternity in the lake of fire. Because that's the truth of the Word of God. And you might be like, that seems mean, right? Well, that's the truth. Like, if God is God enough to save your soul for eternity, then is he not God enough to condemn those who rejected him for eternity? Right? That's just the truth of the Word of God. We'll get more into some of that next week. But, like, if you're one who's just always asking God, why the storm, God? Why not just come after this one guy? Why, where'd you come from? All this, the circumstances. Why'd you let that person do that to me? Why'd you let my spouse do that? Why did you blah, 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 right? You're just like spiritually vomiting on God when you ask those questions, by the way. Like, that's what that looks like. And God's like, hey, Are you ready to listen now? Like, I've been trying to get your attention through a lot of gracious things. And you were just like taking those and it was all good. So I thought maybe I'd do something to get your attention. Right? It seemed to work. Now you're asking. You're just asking the wrong questions. Instead of asking him all of that, just be like, hey, well, what would you want me to do with this? Right? I'm broken. What do you want me to do? Right? I'm at a place where I don't know what to do. That's usually where salvation happens. And I'm not talking about you guys just now getting saved, but like, that's also where sanctification begins. When you come to the end of yourself. When you realize that there's absolutely nothing you can do, there's absolutely no talent that you have that is of any use to God whatsoever. God wants an empty vessel. Right? God doesn't want you to bring your half full water pots and be like, hey God, can you add to my goodness? And when we put my goodness and your goodness together, we'll have something great. God's like, nah, that's really not that good at all. Why don't you dump those out and I'll fill them up, right? And it can be all me and I'll let you deliver it. Because that's all we are. We're just delivery people, right? We're like all little spiritual Amazon guys, right? Delivering packages around, right? That's what we are. If you would just empty yourself. I just thought of that right now. We got to empty ourselves. We're so caught up with like, I think God could use that. No, I think God could use you not saying anything and just being like, here am I, send me. Start there. Right? I got a lot more to say. We'll pick up next week. We'll get the other three things that men do to reveal their heart problem with the Lord. But that's enough for today. We'll pick back up there. But there's a lot more happening in the book of Jonah than what it looks like just reading the words, right? Yeah, there's a storm, but like, there's a heart problem. Jonah has a for real heart problem. And God's like trying his best without just completely smacking you in the face with it to show you that, hey, maybe you've got the same heart problem that he does, or at least some of them. And so if we can see what they are, maybe you can avoid living 3 days and 3 nights in hell, because that's basically what he did. He was basically, God said, "Hey, I'll show you what you deserve, and then we'll see." Right? And so we'll get there soon enough. But let's pray. Father, I love you. I thank you for today. Lord, you're good to us, and we don't deserve anything from you. We really don't. Well, we don't deserve to have enough breath to walk out of this building, but yet you give it to us, Lord, because you desire to use us. And so, Lord, I didn't bring a message like this. You revealed these things to me because not that we want people to feel guilty for what they have and for, you know, the way they live their life, but God, we need to make sure that what we're doing is for you. Not just some of what we do, not just 10% of what we do. God, you've called us to lay all things down and live as new creatures. And the fact of the matter is, God, we don't do a very good job of that. And so, God, I do pray that we would just simply be obedient to okay, God, what is it you want me to do? And I'm going to take the next right step to do that. And then I'll figure out what tomorrow looks like. But for now, I'm going to do today. I'm going to do right now. Right? Well, wherever I'm at, I'm going to do that for you right now, Lord. And if we would just have that attitude, Lord, we could turn the world upside down for you. Not because we're good, but because you're great. Lord, thank you just for your word. Thank you for a book like the book of Jonah. And thank you for allowing us enough grace to not have to go through the things that he did. Hopefully we can learn some things from it. Just preach through Pastor Brian today as he just preaches the word, that we would just leave here ready to get something done for you. I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.